Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're glad to be with you here tonight. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And as I've been telling people, you can go online. If you did not hear our program on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, with Bill Federer, author, historian Bill Federer, he was on with us and talking about Thanksgiving, talking about the Pilgrims, and always enjoyable to hear Bill Federer. If you're not familiar with Bill Federer, you can check him out online at AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. If you're familiar with David Barton, well, it would be very similar. They have very similar ministries, I guess, looking at Christian history. And Bill Federer, I've had the opportunity to meet with several times and have some conversations with him, spend some time with him, and always enjoyable. And so check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And go on the right-hand side of the page, scroll down, you'll see the past programs there, and you can click on Friday November the 25th. And you will see the program, or you'll be able to listen to the program with Bill Federer. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And again, if you're looking for things for Christmas, he's not on with me tonight, but I'll plug his website, AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. He's got a wealth of books on a variety of subjects dealing with history and the influence of God and God's people on history, not just the United States, but the world. And he's got a series, some of them are in books, some of them are in video format, following the rise of freedom throughout history of human governments. And so if you like that sort of thing, let me encourage you to check them out, AmericanMinute.com. But for our program and our things, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me, and you can also link to our home church for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can listen to past programs there, listen to various articles, and I am trying to highlight a few things maybe in these weeks leading up to Christmas. Hard to believe it's that close, and I am going to talk and touch at least a little bit tonight, maybe on an article that I have featured right now at livewithpastoral.com entitled, Why Was the Virgin Birth of Jesus Christ Necessary? But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I invite you to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And for those of us that were listening in the last hour here in northeastern Ohio, we had Terry on, and we were talking about some things about what day of the week we worship on, the Seventh-day Adventist. And I believe Terry's still holding on. Terry, are you still with us?
Yes,
we'll carry you over here a little bit. We're joined, of course, with our listeners in the Tampa area on Faith Talk Tampa, and we certainly welcome them to come on with us here and invite them to call in as well, 888-677-9673. If we can get a caller from Canada, we can certainly get callers from Florida, can't we? And again, we were talking a little bit about worshiping on the first day of the week, and we got a few minutes there if you want to continue on a little bit there.
Sorry, I thought you were done with me, so I went downstairs and the dog whole
thing. Well, that's okay. I saw that you were still on the board there and hadn't hung up, so I thought you wanted to hang over. So I had an open switch, an open board here. We didn't have any other callers, so I thought I'd give you a chance to come back on.
I do have a subject that I'd like to talk about.
Yes.
I don't cut out because when I go up to the elevator, sometimes it cuts out on me, but tonight it didn't for some reason.
Oh, very good.
That's good. But I guess I've got to wait until I get to the ninth floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a question I wanted to talk about in Romans chapter 1.
Romans chapter 1. Well, I will get turned over there and... I can hear the elevator beeping there as you're going up.
I just let the dog out because he's giving me that eye, kicked me out and let me go.
There you go. All right. We're in Romans chapter 1.
Yes. We were talking, like, they asked me, actually, the meeting that I go to for young kids, young people. They like me being there. And so I've been going there for the last couple of years, actually. And they asked me this time, the leaders of the group asked me if I what I wanted to talk about. And guess which book I said to them? Book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they asked me last week, they asked me to write down some thoughts on that and kind of help get into that book. And that, so I did. And I was reading something from Romans, because I've been studying with a guy I probably talked to you about before. His name is Tom Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading a bunch of stuff that he was talking about to them. It only took me probably, I don't know, a couple of minutes. And they criticized me for that. They said that I should summarize it a little bit more. And that kind of troubled me. I don't know why that they said that to me.
Mm-hmm. And what part of Romans 1 were you talking about?
Well, we were talking about talking about homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
sexual perversion and immorality, and
right,
you know, and serious and dominated issues of our time. And I was reading about what Tom Bradford had to say about it, and I don't know why they criticized me for that.
Well, and a lot of times people don't want to accept what the Bible says. And one of the things that we see in Romans chapter 1 that leads up to that discussion, which I think is important to understand, is Paul makes the case here in Romans chapter 1 about, you know, of course, the need for salvation and the faith that God gives us. But he makes the case that there is inside of the heart of man an understanding. And if you read in Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, where he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God," and notice what he says here, "is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." And this is talking not about saved people, but unsaved people. He's saying that God has manifested something in them. God has showed something to even unsaved people to understand about the wrath of God. And this is part of the reason why human beings have a conscience, where there are some things that we just sort of intuitively know are wrong. And we know that we're guilty of something, and we can be fearful that something's going to happen to us. And this is why some people don't want to hear the gospel, because it hits a raw nerve. It hits on something that they instinctively know, that there is the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And it's in them. And then he says in verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And again, we're talking about unsaved people. He's saying that there is enough that is here that, as he said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. This kind of dovetails with what David wrote in Psalm 19, where he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And so we see evidence of God around us, and you know, many of the founders of modern science, you know, were people who were either what we would call today a born-again Christian, or they were certainly people who possessed a biblical worldview. Even if they weren't saved, they had an understanding that God existed, and many of them engaged in their scientific research trying to understand and make sense of what they firmly believed was created by God, meaning the world around us. And so there's this instinctive knowledge within people that God exists and all of this was created. That's why every culture that we find has some sort of religious function in it. It's you know, they've not found any cultures that have no thought of some kind of a deity or multiple deities, but there's some kind of religious idea. It just seems to be universal to mankind, and it's because of what we're looking at here. But as you go through Romans chapter 1, you see that they begin to reject this. And as he puts it in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I can remember taking a class, I don't know if it was in high school or college, where the statement was made. It might have been in high school. We were talking about Greek and Roman mythology, and the statement was made something to the effect of that the Greeks and the Romans, they were the first to make God and or gods look like men and women, whereas prior to them, gods were looking like animals or objects, things in nature or forces of nature, and kind of like this idea that the God concept, the deity concept, evolved from, you know, forces like lightning, fire, things like that, to objects like the sun, the moon, the stars, and then rocks and trees, and then animals and things, and then eventually man evolved to have religious views that cast God in man's image. And it couldn't be further from the truth. The original was a understanding that man is created in God's image, and then later was changed, as we see here in Romans chapter 1, into the image of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, and then worshiping other things, even the earth itself. And so he says,
even the sun god.
Yeah, and then he says in verse 24, wherefore, and at wherefore, you look to see what it's there for. It's there because we see this progress. People instinctively knew that there are things that are right and wrong, an instinctive understanding that there is a God, but they didn't want that, and they changed God into things that they could control, things that they could dominate, and as a consequence, God then gives them up, he says. Wherefore, God also gave them up, in verse 24, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this progression of rejecting the witness of God, rejecting the idea of the God that tries to reveal himself to us first in nature and then specifically in the Bible, as they reject that, God gives them up to uncleanness, which then results in them corrupting themselves. And this is where we get down to verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up to unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving into themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And that's where you launch into this discussion of homosexuality in the scriptures here in Romans chapter 1. But it's on the basis of them having decided they didn't want anything to do with God, closing their ears and their eyes to the things of God, the word of God, and so God eventually giving them up unto uncleanness, resulting in a perversion of that which God created. And I know people don't like to hear that today, but it's not my opinion. It's what the Scripture says. And there's a lot of things in the Scripture that I find uncomfortable, things in the Scripture that I think, man, it's a good thing I didn't write this, because I probably would have wrote it differently. But it was written not by men, but the Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they wrote the things that God told them to write through his Spirit. And so God is the one that said that these things are abominable. God is the one that said that these things are, as he said, vile. And part of it is because men and women, part of the reason that we have men and women is God created Eve so that Adam and Eve could produce children. And so the problem that we have with the same-sex attraction is that it is a mockery of what God created. And, you know, it's...
I believe that one thing that Satan has done is that, you know, with men, with men, women, with women, what he's done is he made it... He did the opposite of what God said to do. He made them one.
Well, and there's that, too, where he tries to make them one to remove the distinction between men and women. But in this particular case, there's a rejection of the women for what God created them for, which was to naturally have a relationship with a man, and the rejection of the men for that which God naturally created them for, to have a relationship with the woman. And so this, again, is a perversion causing, the Bible calls it confusion as well, in terms of what God created. And here's a point while I'm on it. We were out Christmas shopping on Friday, and we went into a store, and there were two women coming up, and I know we live in a free society. People are allowed to do what they want, and not always is everything that's legal, in my opinion, lawful, but it is legal. And there were two women who were coming across the parking lot, and they were walking hand in hand. It was evident that they were more than just friends. But as you looked at the two women, they obviously were in a same-sex relationship. One woman looked fairly feminine. The other woman was dressed in a very masculine fashion. And that brings up a question, which I've asked people this question, and this is not every case, but in so many cases of same-sex couples, what do we see? We see two women that supposedly are not attracted to men. Well, then why wouldn't both women look feminine? Why would one woman try to look masculine if they're not attracted to men? It makes no sense. And likewise, with two men in a same-sex relationship, oftentimes what you see is one man very masculine and the other man very feminine. Now, if the men in the relationship are not at all attracted to women, why would one of them be feminine? You would think both of them would be as masculine as possible. Unless, of course, that's an indication of what I was saying. The devil is sowing confusion. He's making a mockery of what God created, what God ordained, male and female, man and woman, in a relationship. And that's why one in the same-sex couple, one looks feminine, one looks masculine. Again, I would say if it was truly a case of of a same-sex attraction for females, both would look feminine, and in a male one, both would look masculine. It'd make no sense for a guy that's not attracted to women to be attracted to a female-looking man. And it would make no sense if a woman is attracted only to women to be attracted to a woman that's trying to look as much like a man as possible. That makes no logical sense. And again, that points to the confusion.
Men trying to look like women. Like, I think I read something about women being more like women and men being more like men in the last days.
Well, you know, and again, this is the idea in the scripture. Men were not supposed to wear that which pertaineth to a woman. The idea was they were not to dress to pass as women. They were not to dress to live like women. And, you know, we were talking with somebody in the last hour about this Holly Drag story time that's supposed to happen down in Columbus, Ohio, on Saturday. It's supposed to be a holiday tradition at a community school, for a private school for children sponsored by a Unitarian Universalist church. And it's supposed to be a new holiday tradition where they're going to sing holiday songs and everything. And it's hosted by a bunch of men dressed like women. Hence the name Holly Drag Storytime. And it's a perversion. As I said before to several people, I was listening to a guy in the radio on another station, a secular channel, and he was saying, you know, in these things that they do, these drag time story hours, where you've got these men dressed in a very cartoonish, accentuated female fashion. And if you had women, actual women dressed like they're dressed with a bunch of young kids, people would be up in arms. But because it's men dressed in a cartoonish fashion, of women, for some reason it's supposed to be acceptable and it's supposed to be a family-friendly event. In fact, this is billed as a family-friendly event, a new holiday tradition. And it's perversion, and it's introducing these young children to it at an early age. These children don't have enough life experience and understanding to be able to process. You know, when you're talking about 5-6-year-olds, say, well, they're not going to have kids that young. Well, it says on their thing that children at $10, children under 2 years of age free. So they're obviously gearing this for children. And again,
transgender, they're leaning towards trying to teach them transgender is okay and homosexuality is okay. And then
you get into another area with transgender, and that's completely an attack on not just the relationship, but the creation of the, you know, that the human body represents, because this idea that there's God made a mistake. If God exists, he made a mistake. He put a man in a woman's body, or he put a woman in a man's body. And it obviously it's always the physical part that's wrong. It's never the mind that's wrong. Although there's a mental illness called gender dysphoria, which is what that is. And that's actually a toned down name. I forget what it used to be, but it used to have another name that was considered a little too, not friendly enough or something. So they change it to gender dysphoria. But still, it's something that is wrong with the mind. It's not wrong with the body. And they're trying to take young children that haven't even entered into puberty, giving them puberty-blocking drugs, and then proceeding even with teenagers and younger, basically lopping off body parts that are perfectly healthy just to cater to a mental illness. And you've got these people that are catering to that and trying to encourage children in this direction. And children are certainly impressionable. I mean, how many girls growing up were called tomboys, you know, because they went through a phase, they liked to wrestle and play with the boys and everything, but then they grew out and started wearing dresses and putting on makeup and things like that and becoming very feminine. And you can think about that. Everybody, I'm sure, knows people in their life that were like that. But when they're in that stage, somebody comes along and says, well, you're really a boy in a girl's body. And they start drug treatment. They start lopping off body parts. You know, I remember watching a program one time. This is probably 25 years at least ago, where they were talking about an affliction that people had where they would think for some reason they become convinced that their legs don't belong to them. And they would try to get doctors to actually amputate their legs. Nothing wrong with their legs. They just were convinced that they shouldn't have them. Or arms, that they shouldn't have their arms. And they would want doctors to cut off perfectly healthy body parts. And people looked at that and said, well, this is a mental illness. But make them the male and female parts, and now all of a sudden, oh, it's to be celebrated. No, this is nothing more than a mutilation of that which God created. Rather than deal with the underlying mental problems and get the type of therapy that they need, and ultimately what people need, of course, is Christ, but they run through all these things, and anybody that suggests that there's something wrong with them, all of a sudden, you're the bad person. You're the person that's got problems. And even some states are trying to pass laws, even attempts on the federal level here in the United States to pass laws making it illegal to counsel against puberty-blocking drugs and lopping off healthy body parts, trying to tell people that maybe it's a mental problem that you have, not you're in the wrong body. But, of course, that would make too much sense. And that's the problem we have today.
Could I read something? There's one thing I like. Could I read something for here?
Sure.
That's one thing I like about you. You know, Paul never minced words. You don't mince words. That's one reason why I like calling in. But anyway, it says never once did Paul mince words. He dealt head on with sin, and especially with sexual perversion. And I believe that sexual perversion is a sexual and sexual immorality is the single most serious and dominated issue of our time. And this is because of, while terrorism is a danger to life and limb, sexual immorality is a danger to our souls and to our element, our internal futures. So, it is an issue that has not just divided the world and our nation, it's divided, deeply damaged the church and the outstanding turn away from guns. Astounding turn away from God and His commandments. Like, it's just terrible. Like,
yeah.
What they're doing.
Well, and as
denominational churches, there's some denominational churches that actually believe it's okay to be gay, and they teach that. Like, well, like the United States.
And again, I know we got about 2 minutes here left in this half hour, but again, as you look at this in Romans chapter 1, this is why this chapter is so foundational, because here in verse 28, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it goes on to chart the progress, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And then he concludes in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And as we look at this, we can see the increase in this in our society today. I was listening to somebody not too long ago in a secular setting, and he was commenting from the secular standpoint about the coarsening of our society and how we just seem to be on this accelerated downward slide in immorality. And, you know, this dovetails with what Jesus said it would be like when he comes again the second time. He said it'd be like in the days of Lot, Well, what was it like in the days of Lot that brings to mind Sodom and Gomorrah and the sexual immorality that they were known for? Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for sticking with us here. We're coming up on the break. So, again, thanks for calling us tonight. And we're going to be transitioning into the next half hour. So stay tuned and don't go away. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me. You can learn more about the program. You can also link to the page for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And on our page, livewithpastoral.com, there's a variety of materials that are available there, some articles and things that I've written. Past programs are there. If you're in an area where you don't hear the first hour of our program on at 11 or at 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, those are on there. We just started that a few weeks ago. It's our third night running from 10 till midnight. A number of our listeners are only getting, you know, in an area where you only get our 11 o'clock to midnight, which has been what we've been traditionally in the past. And that's on there as well. And also, we're on Friday afternoons in Northeastern Ohio from 1:30 till 2 o'clock. And those programs are all there as well at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check them out. And Christmas is coming up in a few short weeks. And That's where I wanted to share a few things each week, talking about Christmas as we have time. Of course, we give some priority also to phone calls, so we still do have time. If you want to call in with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. But barring other callers, I wanted to look at this question tonight. Why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? And so we'll be looking at some things as we lead up to Christmas. And just starting with this one tonight, because we celebrate a lot of things about Christmas, and there's different things we talk about, and there's things we argue over, you know, was Jesus born in December 25th, or was he born in a different time of the year, and why was he born in Bethlehem? We go through all kinds of things, but here's a question: that why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? And I just wanted to touch on that tonight. And I've got an article on this subject that's available at livewithpastoral.com. But this, of course, there's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And now, some modern versions change that to a young woman, and there's nothing miraculous about a young woman conceiving and bearing a son. That's a rather commonplace event in the course of human history, young women conceiving all the time and having children. But this is miraculous in a sense that it's a virgin that conceives, not merely a young woman. And this is something that is absolutely necessary from several standpoints. If Jesus was to be our Savior, that's why this is so important. Not only is it a miraculous sign, and this was confirmed in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel had spoken and talked, and Matthew writes here in Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I know every once in a while somebody complains, "Hey, wait a minute, I thought they called him Jesus." Well, Emmanuel is a name that's also given to him in the scripture here, and it is a fulfillment, because it is, as Matthew points out, which being interpreted is God with us. And so this is what exactly took place with the birth of Christ: God with us. The miracle of the virgin birth, and the fact that Jesus became a man and dwelt among us. And he was God from the very moment of birth. Actually, he was God from the very moment of conception. But here's part of the reason why the virgin birth is so necessary. If we go back to Romans chapter 6, in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, what he's talking about there is what took place back in the book of Genesis. God made Adam in the book of Genesis, and then he made Eve, and he put them on the earth. And when he created Adam and Eve, they were absolutely pure, absolutely holy. They were without sin. They had no sin nature. They were created perfect, and they walked and they lived in perfect harmony with God. And this was the situation in the Garden of Eden, and it was paradise. But unfortunately, the situation soon changed. Because remember, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a free will. And in order to have a free will, there has to be not only the ability to choose to do right, but the ability to choose to do wrong. Maybe put it this way: there's a ability to choose to do one thing and the ability to choose to do something else. Maybe you can put it this way, the ability to choose to do or not to do. There has to be an alternative. So if Adam had been created with no free will, he would have had no choice but to always obey God, to always do what God wanted him to do. Now, I know a lot of people struggle with the concept of free will and God's will and sovereign will and perfect will and permissive will and all these things, but it boils down to this. In order for Adam to have the opportunity to have the free will to obey God, he also had to have the opportunity to freely disobey God. And so as a consequence, we see that, I think I got a little interference on the thing there, somebody cutting in on us. Can you hear? I heard some papers or something rustling. Oh, okay. Anyway, just distracted me a little bit there. Sounded like somebody was opening something up. But getting back to this, there has to be an opportunity for a choice to disobey God in order for Adam to freely choose to obey God. People say, well, why did God do that? Well, it's because God didn't want mere robots, mere programmed creatures that can only do one thing. He wanted someone that he could fellowship with who would choose to fellowship with him. And this is what God did in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, this is where the ability to choose to disobey God comes in. Every time that Adam looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he could make a choice. I choose to obey God, or I choose to obey God and not eat from the fruit of this tree. I can eat from any other tree I want to, but God said don't eat from this tree, so I won't. I choose to obey God. Or Adam could say, I choose not to obey God. But there had to be a valid choice there. Otherwise, there's no freedom. There's no free will. If Adam was created, like some people say, with no free will, then the only a conclusion, and it's inescapable, is that God created Adam with the desire and the purpose that Adam would disobey him and eat the forbidden fruit. But that's not what God's desire was. God's desire is that Adam would choose to obey him. And so what happened was this one tree that offered that ability. Now, it's a knowledge of good and evil. Adam knew good. Adam was holy and in perfect fellowship with God. He knew evil is not so much the opposite of good, but it's the absence of good. Now, where I'm at right now, I'm in a studio that is lit. There's light emanating from the fixture above me, and I can see my Bible, I can see my computer, I can see the microphone and things, but outside the window, it's dark because it's nighttime. Well, there isn't an object in the sky. I know physicists like to talk about the potential for dark matter. There's not a dark sun in the sky emanating darkness out there, producing darkness. And when I leave the studio here and when the lights are turned out, they don't suddenly start emitting darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And so for Adam, he knew what good was, but he really didn't know what evil was because he had never experienced the absence of good. And this is what happened. When Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he now experienced what it was like to not experience good. And it's just like if somebody who was born and raised in an environment that was always lit up, never experienced darkness, and then suddenly the lights were extinguished and they were plunged into darkness. That would be their first experience with darkness. They would not have known what it was. They would have never experienced it until the lights were cut out. Well, this is what happened with Adam and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was an opportunity for Adam to make the choice to willingly obey or to disobey God. Well, we know the story, and I don't have time to go through the entire thing here, but Eve was tempted by Satan, who appeared in the guise of a serpent, and he convinced her to eat the forbidden fruit. After she did that, of course, something happened. Remember, God told them that in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I used to wonder, wait a minute, they lived for hundreds of years, according to the Bible, after this. They didn't die that day, or did they? Well, actually, they did. They died spiritually. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, here starting verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Now, something's obviously changed here. They've now experienced a lack of goodness, meaning they experience evil. They now know both good and evil. And something happened. Now, I know if you've ever been to the Creation Museum in Kentucky, and I've been there several times. I've got some family members that live near there, and I highly recommend if you get a chance to go down there or maybe read some of the books, and they talk about the creation of Adam and Eve, and they usually have Adam and Eve cavorting around the Garden of Eden with no clothes on and artfully placed leaves and things of that nature. I personally, and I don't have time to get into it tonight, I personally believe that Adam and Eve were coated with garments of light. There's good reason to believe that, but like I said, I don't have time to get into that aspect of it tonight. But whatever the case is, I think that those garments of light disappeared, and their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And that's a whole other area, though. But anyway, whatever the case is, they knew that something was wrong, and they immediately tried to cover up with their own efforts the results of their sin. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Something happened. They now felt shame, and they felt that something was wrong, and they endeavored to cover themselves up with fig leaves that they sewed together and made some rudimentary garments. And then they hear God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hide themselves from him. Now, God knows exactly what's happened. And when God calls out asking Adam where he is, it's not that God doesn't know where Adam's hiding in the garden. He knows exactly where Adam is. He just wanted Adam to admit what he had done. And this comes back to what we were talking about in Romans chapter 5, where it says, "As by one man sin entered into the world." Here sin has now come into the world. And they are now apart from God. There's a separation from God. Genesis chapter 3 continues, verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord God," or I'm sorry, "and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He now knew what it was like to be separated from the presence of God. He now knows good and evil. And this is what happened. They died spiritually. Death is fundamentally a separation. The reason that you and I need to be saved is because we're spiritually dead. When you put your faith in Christ, you are created a new creature in Christ. You receive a new spirit that's alive and responsive to God. Because Adam and Eve died spiritually when they disobeyed God, they are now cut off from God, and God has to intervene. And so he does, and he, of course, tells them that the the aprons that they made were not sufficient. And so as a consequence, he killed an innocent animal, spilt the blood of an innocent animal, and used the skin to make robes for them, clothes for them, garments for them. And this is a picture of the coming sacrifice of Christ. All the innocent animals, the lambs, the goats, the bullocks that were killed, sacrificed in the Old Testament, were all pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that was seen in the person of Jesus Christ, who came into the world in order to be our sacrifice. So why is the virgin birth so necessary then? Well, here's what it is. Remember, he said that in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 21, the Bible says, "For since by man death, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." This then gives us the idea of why the virgin birth of Christ was necessary. If Jesus had an earthly father, he would have been a recipient of a sin nature. He would have inherited his earthly father's sin nature. The scripture indicates to us that the sin nature is passed from father to child. It does not come from the mother. And this is an interesting concept when you think about it. This is why the virgin birth was necessary. Jesus could not have a sin nature, or he would not have been able to be our perfect sacrifice. And so as a consequence, he had no earthly father. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, starting verse 35, Gabriel speaking to Mary because she's trying to understand what's going to happen. And he says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Because she's been told she's going to have a child. She says, I've not known a man. She's not had any kind of a sexual relationship with Joseph or anybody else. She says, "How can I be pregnant?" And he says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And this is where the miracle of the incarnation of Christ comes in, and the miracle of the virgin birth. You know, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes. You get one pair from your father, you get one pair from your mother. And it's like shuffling the deck. There's an incredible number of possible combinations of these 23 pairs of chromosomes that can take place. Well, Mary provided one side of the pair. She provided 23 chromosomes, but you needed the male counterpoint. And we know that this was not simply doubling what Mary already had, because Jesus was born male, which means he was born with an XY chromosome pair, not female with an XX chromosome pair. Mary only had the X portion of the pair. She could not have supplied the Y. That can only come from the father. And so we can see, at least in the case of the Y chromosome, that only the male supplies the Y chromosome. And as a consequence, God himself had to miraculously recreate the pairs of chromosomes, the missing complement in each chromosome pair of all 23, so that Jesus would have the full complement of 23 pairs of chromosomes, including the XY chromosome pair, which determined that his body would be born, his physical body would be born male and not female. And so God had to specially create the Y chromosome as well as the other chromosomes to complete the 23 pairs of chromosomes so that the virgin birth could take place. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and power, or I'm sorry, glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And then Paul further explained that in Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is why he had to be born in the first place, so that he could go to the cross. But again, we see that idea in Romans chapter 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Jesus could not have an earthly father. He needed to break that cycle so he would not inherit the sin nature. And I had a conversation with somebody one time at the Cuyahoga County Fair, a lady representing the, I believe it was the Legion of Mary. She was saying that they believed in the virgin birth of Mary and that Mary was born without sin because they said that, Christ was born without sin, but that Mary also had to be born without sin, Immaculate Conception and all those different things we got, but Mary had to be born without sin, and the reason being that they said was, how can a sinful vessel produce a sinless vessel? And so therefore, for Jesus to be born without sin, because they didn't understand this concept here that we just went through, for Jesus to be born without sin, his mother had to be without sin. And I casually asked the question, I said, well, if that's the case, then wouldn't Mary's mother have to have been without sin as well? Because after all, if you said that how can a sinful vessel bear a sinless vessel, Mary's mother would have to be sinless. And she said, well, some of us believe that. And I said, well, then her grandmother would have been all the way back to Mary. All of them would have had an unbroken line of sinless women. And we know that Eve was not without sin. And the Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. And so obviously that doesn't work. But it does work that Jesus was born without an earthly father. He inherited no sin nature. That's why the virgin birth of Christ was necessary. Don't let somebody rob you by saying a young woman is going to conceive and give birth to a child. That takes away the virgin birth. And Christ came so that we might live. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.